All right, joining us now is the owner, founder, creator, director, and everything else of an amazing place called Intramersive, Carly Dwyer. Carly, welcome to MSO.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
I feel a little bit like Alice. I was directed to you from four other layers, and I feel like Alice and I have just not slipped but dived down the rabbit hole, and this is absolutely fascinating. So what I'd like you to do, if you would please, tell me a little bit about your business and your background as to how you got to where you are, if you would please.
Sure. So Intramersive was founded in 2017, and we are what we call an immersive game theater company. We are actually, even within our own industry, a little unusual. So my background is actually, I was a high school theater teacher for well over a decade. And majority of my background is in theater. But I studied folklore and anthropology in college, and I've also been a live-action role player since I was about 18. So for those of you who don't know what live-action role-playing is, it is the nerdiest thing you've ever heard of, but it's basically you go out, spend the weekend, you know, dressed up in costume, in real life. So using soft weapon to do like fantasy medieval style combat. If some LARPs are World War II on ships, there's pirate LARPs where you're on ships and the world of LARP is very big and it's actually growing even bigger, but a lot of people still don't really know about it. So anyway, the company came together because working with actors, you know, they have these incredible experiences kind of playing in alternate lives, and LARPers have the same experience. But acting takes years of technique and training, and LARPing is expensive and eats up a lot of your time and can be really daunting to learn. So we wanted to create a theater company that could allow anyone to walk in off the street and play in our games in a way that made you feel like you were very alive in the world and like you as a person could actually affect change and impact outcomes and really participate in a way that felt real.
So many more questions to get into. This sounds absolutely fascinating. And again, the LARPing situation, the LARPing event, tell me about the reaction or what's going on with COVID. How has that affected LARPing or vice versa? How has LARPing affected COVID?
So LARPing is kind of an amazing art form in that, I mean, technically, we're supposed to play it live. Like, that's what separates us from, like, video games and tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons, Call of Cthulhu, Thousand-Year-Old Witch. The immediate impact is pretty severe. Like, obviously, we can't LARP. We can't, you know, go off to our locations and be in each other's company for a weekend and do what we do. But it's also an extremely adaptive world. A lot of LARPers also are other forms of gamers, either online role-playing games or tabletop games. So LARPing has started to adapt. You know, we have shifted online. All of my tabletop games are now online. And with my company, what we've done is try to recreate a LARP scenario in the online space as best we can. So we've been running this wonderful game called Pass the Sugar, Please, by Cleo Yunson Davis, which is a LARP about, it's an adult LARP. I will preface that as it is not for minors.
Mm-hmm.
But it's around a coffee table having brunch the night after a very grown-up experience.
Mm-hmm.
And those characters are not allowed to talk about it explicitly, so they have to talk about it over the food, and the food suddenly all becomes metaphors, and you're trying to figure out what everyone else is trying to say.
Okay.
So we've been planning out, like, we're doing that as private parties now, which has been incredibly fun. I mean, that game always is a lot of laughter and a lot of silliness. We've been playing Magical Help Desk, which is a game my company invented, and that's for all ages, where you play a magical tech support specialist, and an actor of ours will call in as a magical user having problems, like a wand won't work, or
okay,
the dragon security system keeps eating princes.
Okay.
And you have to help fit. You have to, like, so you're, it's a game, but it's a game in the idea that it doesn't necessarily matter what happens. It's the fact that you and another live person are playing in an alternate universe where, you know, there are boundaries to the world, but you make the boundaries work for you in a way that makes it fun. So it's not necessarily about winning the game. You can, like, you can fix the problem and win the game. Mm-hmm. Or you can kind of go side trail, or you can make new choices. And we've had such a huge popular response to that when we've invented a new one called Tactical Field Team, where a group of friends can call in, so we call it a multiplayer. They call in as an adventure team having a problem, and they have to call the magical help desk and see, A, if they want to solve the problem, and B, can they solve the problem, and can the team do it together? And the answer is usually no. Usually somebody in the team goes rogue, and...
Okay.
Hilarity ensues.
Well, you know, that's the first thought I had. And again, this is all brand new to me, so I appreciate your taking the time to be delicate and explain this. The first thought that comes to me is that this can be a tremendous stress reliever.
And that's, honestly, usually LARP, it's funny, we've seen it inverse with LARPing and gaming over COVID, because LARPing is usually about being in situations you don't ever think you're going to be in, you know, extraordinary, dangerous situations that you're never, hopefully, ever going to be in. And it's kind of useful in that way normally, because it kind of teaches you a lot about who you are in situations that are very safe. But now that when COVID happened, we're like, oh, no, now we're in a dystopian situation. Like, now we're in, like, this almost post-apocalyptic place where the world is very different and everything is very scary and nobody knows what the right thing is to do. And so we changed the focus of our games to be about, you know, kind of an opportunity to let you express that anxiety in a way that didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you could come, like, you know, you call the magical help desk and, you know, like, you're there as Pier 1 tech support, and on the other side of the phone there's, you know, a princess who's just trying to let a prince into her tower, but the dragon keeps eating them. and you have a manual, but the manual's not always super helpful. So, like, it's you there in a situation that has stakes, but it also is totally fake. And the actress on the other line is hilarious.
Oh,
and she has her own ulterior motives, which start creeping into the story as you go.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, our goal is, we always want our callers and we always want our players to leave our situations being like, that was really fun. I am not 100% sure what happened, but, man, I want to do it again.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I'm familiar with that concept, too, and that's a great feeling. I'm not sure what I just saw, but, yeah, I like it. Tell me a little bit about your people that you work with.
So my team is currently an all-female team. So it's me as a creator and founder. Our lead writer and we all kind of do the writing. So we have a historian and a folklorist and a dramaturg. Her name is Kristen Harris, and she's a Salem local. And she's been helping, like, so she kind of helps us with our world building a lot. We all throw in to write characters. We all throw in to write storylines. We have Jasmine Kimmy Graham, who is a North Shore native but now lives in Boston. She actually usually does our media and our art design, but she actually, her day job, she works for Apple. So she actually and a group of her friends were the ones who wrote Magical Help Desk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she kicked the can around in, like, the idea around in chat, and then just, like, went off with J. Frank Bean, who's a friend of ours, who's actually, we're working on a project now, who's a novelist in Boston, who writes, you know, really amazing fantasy novels, and another friend who works tech support, and they just, in 2 days, wrote Magical Help Desk and came back, and I was like, this is amazing. So we have a media specialist, we have a dramaturg, we have some tech consultants we work with, and J. Frank Bean is coming on and doing a lot more writing with us, which is a very exciting evolution of COVID. And actually, we have an audio project we're working on with right now, where we've brought on a sound designer, and we're working with a couple cool organizations in Salem and an app designer in England. So the team kind of flows depending on project, but Jasmine, Christian, and I are the core three.
All right. With COVID, I've read every book I could possibly read in my favorite genre. We've binge-watched television. We've played board games at home or card games. I don't want to play any more gin and rummy for a long time. How does someone become a novice of whatever age get into this? How does someone avail themselves of what you offer?
So getting into gaming really is about, like, kind of just what are you interested in? Like, if you want a live experience, then, you know, some, like, playing a game like ours might be really fun for you because, again, it doesn't necessarily matter if you know the rules. You're interacting with a live person. They will adapt to you. So you can check us out on our website, but there's also a lot of really awesome live gaming out there. So if you want to check out the website Everything Immersive, or No Proscenium, they're run by the same organization, and they will, the amazing thing about COVID, I will say, or like the result of the ingenuity of artists in COVID, is you can play all over the world. Like, it used to be that you had to go to a beautiful destination to go LARPing, but now, like, I've, over COVID, played games in L.A., I've played games in the Holland, you know, we have a player just called in from Russia and, you know, Norway. So, check out No Proscenium, check out Everything Immersive, and literally, like, you can play games from all over the world. Want to get into, like, tabletop role-playing games, you know, the classic is Dungeons and Dragons, but that can actually be a little heavy, like, in terms of, like, rules and getting into it. But there are, oh my gosh, now I'm blanking on the names of game sites. But, like, we've been working with some amazing independent game designers, like Xiaorong Biswas and Cleo Yunson Davis, who are incredibly innovative game designers who are working on games that really anyone can walk in and play on any level, and you can use, it requires different numbers of people. Those are people I can send you the links if you want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever you can. And you know, coming out of total ignorance, what's the safety factor in this?
What do you mean the safety factor?
I mean, you know, you read about things on the internet, people going on the internet, kids going on the internet and ending up maybe where they don't belong or someone talking to them who shouldn't be talking to them. Is there some kind of protection? How is that filtered in terms of getting into LARPing?
Well, so I will go so far as to say, so, like, first of all, I mean, like, if you are a parent and your child is interested, always just, like, reach out and find out what the game is, reach out and find the content.
Mm-hmm.
We field emails constantly from parents being like, can my 14-year-old play this? And we'll show them which games that they can play.
Okay.
I'm not gonna, like, you know, it is the internet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. All right, that's fair enough. I'm not trying to trick you or anything, just wondering, because, you know, it sounds, to me, again, it sounds like a tremendous form of both escapism and intellectual exercise and a stress reducer, and it's just, as you say, it's the internet, so it looks like there's something for everyone there.
Right, and, like, you know, and going online and kind of find, like, you could go to, like, gosh, I'm blanking on all the websites now, but you can go to, like, DriveThruRPG and stuff, and there's games that families can download that are, and I'll send you a whole bunch of links later than I actually remember what the, like,
sure,
the names of things.
Yep.
You know, there's websites that your listeners can go to where they can download games themselves that they can play with their own families that are live-action role-playing games they can play at home. And it is one of the things I will tell you that if it's something you want to get into, especially live action, you have to understand that you are going to feel like an idiot.
Okay.
Your kids won't. Your kids will think this is awesome.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Full-blown imagination. And, you know, I think the hardest thing for people getting into it is realizing that if you make it awkward, you're making it awkward for everybody. So you might as well just, like, accept the fact that this is super weird. And do it.
Okay.
And once you do that, you're going to have so much fun. Like, once you let go of the idea that, like, it's not cool, like, it's not. It's super nerdy. Just do it. Like,
well, I tell you, see, being a former math teacher and having a programmer as a wife and an engineer as a daughter, nerd is up my alley. That's fine. I got that. That's okay. I'm with you on that one. Carly, this is fascinating, and I want to do this again at some points, but in wrapping this thing up, is there anything else you'd like to mention about your website, your business, or how people get into it, and what the cost might be, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, so you can obviously look us up on intramersive.com. I will send you a bunch of resources as well for other gamers, like younger gamers that are doing different styles of games. Playing our games is about $25 a game, but I do want to put it out there that because all of our actors are professional actors and educators and museum interpreters, they are pretty much all out of work. So that $25, 75% of every ticket sale we have been selling since the start of COVID has gone directly to the artists involved. So when you're paying $25 to play a game, $18.75 is going directly through PayPal into the pocket of that artist to help keep them going, because we do run a very big risk of losing a lot of our artists, because I mean they have to pay their bills.
Yeah.
So knowing, and again, the rest of that percentage is going to like helping keep the business going. So, you know, we wish we could offer games for free. We wish we could make, you know, it's super democratic, but on the flip side of it, you know, I have to pay my people.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like a bargain. And the fact, and what you said about your actors and so on, you know, making something out of this while they can't work full time, that's special. I congratulate you on that. That's a great thing.
And we're really proud. Like, we're very proud of our community. Our community of gamers has turned out in force, and so that percentage has made an impact to our artists, and we're able to keep going. Like, we haven't shut down for a day since COVID, because we immediately were like, okay, what can we do to make sure? Because again, we had that whole 6-week period where we didn't even know if freelancers could get unemployment. Like, just suddenly everybody we knew was out of work.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, now's not the time to slack. Let's figure something out. Let's put money in people's pockets. And we have, and we're really proud of that. And we also have to like to turn that right around and like thank the community of everybody who has bought a game and played and called back and played again because they had fun and told their friends to play, because that has kept people going.
All right. So, and the best way for anybody to learn more about this is your website, which is?
Intramersive.com.
That is Carly Dwyer, who is the founder and creative director of Intramersive.